introduce the first speaker, Cheryl C. from the Gesture of Aid Group of NA in the Butler area of NA.
Wow. I'm an addict. My name is Cheryl. I thought Virginia was going to go first. I was just sitting there telling her how I'm up in my head. So just join me again real quick with a serenity prayer, please. God, grant us the serenity to accept the things we cannot change, the courage to change the things we can, and the wisdom to know the difference just for today. I'm real humbled by being asked to speak out here. I admire the recovery that I found in the Lower Mountain Highland area, and to think that somebody thought enough of my program to invite me out, it blows me away. And then when I get to share the podium with Regina, I'm like, I'm not worthy. So I've never done a women's rap, but I'm like, well, what am I supposed to talk about? You know what I mean? I don't know, but I just tell a little bit about my story. Getting clean as a woman, initially when I came in, I was hating God. I was very resentful toward God because he made me a woman. I felt that he gave me the tools to keep getting high. By giving me, you know, the ways and means. You know, I started coming to NA. I started coming to the meetings because the men I was meeting when I was out car hopping at night were all in Narcotics Anonymous. And I figured if I went to the meeting, that then we'd be ready to get some money. Work smart, not hard. And I'd go in there and I worked the room like a freaking ATM machine because it was this one, that one, and the other. And I'd, you know, ask them, can I get a couple of dollars for the seven traditions? And, you know, I want to get something to eat after the meeting. And they didn't want me to blow them up because I made it clear I had nothing to lose. You know, I had a reputation. Or, all you're to see is what you get. Everybody knows what's up with me. So they give me the money, kind of the hush money. But it got me, I sit through this. In Philly, they have a speaker and then a discussion. And they break in the middle for the seventh tradition. And so I sit through the speakers. And sometimes one of those men will be there. You know, sometimes I'd work the room and get some money, sit through the speaker to be respectful, and then I'd go cop. But sometimes they weren't there, and I'd be left to sit with what I'm hearing and what I'm feeling. And what I found out is that I felt like using more after a Narcotics Anonymous meeting than I did when I went in the door. And somebody told me that's because somebody was telling my story. When somebody was touching on the pain that I was trying to hide from by continuing to get high. And, of course, in my addiction, you couldn't tell me I wasn't cute. I mean, I really was. and so when I came in, you know, I realized that it was all image. I was all about how I looked. Like, I dressed to get attention, but don't look at me too hard. You know what I mean? And don't look at me too long because I'm going to just crumble. And I felt like I had no substance to me. Excuse me. I felt like there was, if anybody pulled my mask, if you were to open my face and look at me, it's just hollow inside, you know. And I kept trying to fill it with smoke. Smoke and mirrors was, all I was about when I was using. Since coming into recovery, hooked up with this guy, and he was asking me what I wanted to do, where I wanted our relationship to go, whatever, and I didn't feel like there's anything wrong with smoking crack, just took all damn day to do, so let's do something different, let's find a way that we can stop smoking, and I want to leave Philadelphia, I want out of here. So he said, all right, done, you know, so we finished up that night. The next day he went to rehab, because he was in the VA, and he got in someplace and got a bed and was gone. And I was supposed to go to rehab too, but, you know, I was cute and I just wanted to get one more. Just one more. And so I stayed out there another 9 months. And when he completed the program, they set him up with housing and stuff like that, and then he came back to Philly and got me and brought me to Butler. And that's how I ended up on this side of the state. And initially, I was just going through the motions. Like, I knew I was sick and tired of being sick and tired. Like, I knew I wanted a new way of life. I had no idea how to go about it. And taking this opportunity to come to Butler was, like, the best thing going at the time. Like, you know, because anything else would have kept me out there. Like, you know, I knew I had another run in me. I knew I could get some more, you know, if I wanted to. But I just wanted to stop living that way. I was sufficiently beaten by the disease of addiction. It kicked my ass. And when I got to Butler, I started just going through the motions. Like, I didn't know anything about being clean, having a new way of life. I just wanted to stop doing what I had to do to get my drugs. You know, I wanted to stop living like that. I wanted to stop degrading myself and compromising my principles because my mother didn't raise me to behave that way. And I couldn't hold my head up. I'd abandoned my children so long ago, and I couldn't hold my head up to talk to them or look at them or to try to. I didn't have the means anymore to be a mother. And so when I got here, you know, I was sufficiently beat. I just wanted to find some way out. And I didn't have anything else to lose. So I was going to meetings, like he was going to meetings, basically being a good chameleon. That's a good addict, you know, I'm just going through the motions and making a meeting a day and got my benefits and entitlements or whatever, and I was going to IOP and taking care of my health, and I'm getting healthier, and, you know, I'm starting to, like, learn what the steps really mean. I'm starting to go through the awakening of my spirit had begun, and I've had this episode where the antidepressants I was taking and the asthma, because as a direct result, I was using for 10 years. I have severe asthma now. And so there was some interaction. I was allergic to something or whatever. And it interrupted. I was at, like, day 53 of my 90, and I had to go to the ER. I got hives and couldn't breathe, and I'm itching and hurting and, you know, I went to the ER and the nurse shot me up with something. Now, I made it a point, like one thing I paid attention. I'm a good student, and sitting in the IOP classes, like they, you know, they teach us, you're supposed to take ownership of your recovery. You're responsible. You know, you need to tell your medical professionals that you're in recovery before they give you something because they don't necessarily understand. So she, you know, I told her I was in recovery and, you know, like I didn't want any narcotics or anything like that. Well, she shot me up with something. And it was like a mixture of Benadryl and something else, like two other substances. But it hit me like a hit. And I nearly fell off the bed trying to choke this. Like, did not tell you I was in recovery. Like, why did you? And she was like, oh, it's nothing narcotic. And I was like, all right. So I had to just ride it out. But in that moment, I was able to see God gave me the opportunity to choose. Did I want to chase the feeling I was having? Or, like, what I come to know of recovery in Butler was starting to fade away, like, in a pinhole, like, at a pinpoint, like, going further and further away. And I could chase this youth that I was feeling from that injection, which was always starting to dissipate, or I could go after, like, what was solid that I could grab onto, and I was afforded the opportunity to make a choice, and I made the choice that I'm going to pursue the recovery because life was good. Life, you know, I was able to sleep at night. It wasn't no more put out or get out. I was, you know, eating. I was doing things. I thought I had a purpose. And my purpose was simply to just get another day clean. Like, that's all I wanted to do. And I read a literature, and chapter 5 talks about, what can I do? And it says the 7 things that I have to do to stay clean on a daily basis. And I'm doing them to the best of my ability. I'm trying to get my girlfriend said, come along, let's do this, let's go to a meeting. How many meetings did you make this week? You know what I mean? How many meetings did you make today? And I'm trying to skip down this journey, down this path to recovery with somebody, and they're falling off. And you know what? I meet me at a meeting. Like I said, you know, you're not going to pull me off the road just because your ass want to watch TV. You know, Law and Order ain't all that deep to me. So I went to meetings, and at the time that I had this episode, like, I was already, like, day 52 or 53 of my 90. I was going to IOP, attending the class. The woman said, you know, the statistics for thinking of is 1 and 10, and I'm thinking, I'm going to prove her wrong, I'm going to make 2 and 10. You know what I mean? Because I didn't think enough of myself to think I could be that one. But so anyway, I had that experience that night, and it felt like God was saying, that was your practice run. Now, do the damn thing. You've gone through the motions. You know what to do. You know, you're making it. You see who ain't, you know, you see who has to do this on your own, basically. Like, not by yourself, but on your own. Nobody can do this for you. Just like you can't do it for those women who want to watch Law and Order. You got to do this by yourself. And, you know, you see them on the other side or whatever. So after that episode, I was just on fire for my recovery. Every meeting that I went to, people thought it was my home group because I'm standing at the door, I'm hugging, I'm greeting, I'm setting up, I'm tearing down, and I'm just happy to be alive, happy to be in service. So I had already gotten a sponsor at this point. I had become GSR of a home group. I'm going to area service. I got involved with public information. And, you know, what I found later in my life, like now where I am, I can look back on this foundation that I was building with learning how to go to meetings, read our literature, write on my step work. Like, that was preparing me to be present in my life today. You know what I mean? That foundation of asking questions, seeking guidance, and being of service has brought me to where I am. So I had a sponsor. I worked some steps. I recognized I was powerless over that man I was living with, but my life was a little more manageable than it had been, so it wasn't time for him to go yet. You know, I started to see, you know, I'm powerless over my kids when they don't want to talk to me, because when I was getting it in, I didn't want to talk to them, you know, and that's, it's not so much a heart piece today because I've done some step work on it. You know what I mean? I've been able to heal, and now I'm doing the best I can. And I can't make up, like, I'm powerless over my past. I can't make up for when I wasn't there and what I didn't do, or, you know what I mean? All I can do is be available, like, stay in position today and head it, you know, I'm ready. Like, whatever you want to bring to me, you know, you need a place to stay. I don't have no money, but if you know, you need some food, whatever, I got you. You need somebody to come visit you, I can do that today. So anyway, so I recognized that I was powerless over some stuff. I recognized the insanity of how I was living. Look, when I was doing my addiction, I had a calendar color-coded of other people's paydays, right? Because I want to just go and ask for the money, right? I don't want to have to work for it. I know you got paid today, you know what I mean? So just give me $10 or give me $5 or whatever. Send me on my way. Look, and I was like, it's cheaper for you to just give me the money. Because I don't have nothing to lose. Like, I stayed big on that. Look, and I did have one experience in treatment where all I learned was I was powerless over my addiction. So I ran with that. Like, look, I can't help it. You have to give me some money. I don't want to hurt you. It won't be my fault. You know what I mean? I was convinced that I wouldn't end up in jail. I was like, I'll be on a ward or a unit somewhere. Like, I ain't doing no time. That would be crazy as hell. So, but anyway, I saw that insanity after having a little bit of time clean and recognizing, like, that I had control over what I do and what I say. Like, that's the extent of the power I had. And that when I recognized that only I could change my clean days, like, that empowered me a little bit more. I don't have to succumb to or subscribe to the insanity of chasing. You know, I started to see some restoration because I was putting on some weight. I'm sleeping at night, getting up in the morning. I'm doing the same things at the same time every day. Because in Butler, most of the meetings are at 8 o'clock, and I don't know if that was strategic by the people who founded these meetings, but it gave me somewhere to be every day at 8 o'clock. And even today, my clean date is May 9, 2006. So 7 years later, I still... nobody calls me between 8 and 9:30 because they know I'm probably at a meeting. And I like that. I like having that routine. And that routine, like, was kind of my saving grace early on as I worked through the second step. And when I got to see that when I aligned myself just a little bit with what God had in mind for me, like, things opened up. So I made the decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God as I understood him. And I had to admit, I don't understand you. I don't understand why you saved me. First, why you put me through this crap. Like I said, I had a resentment. Why you put me through this, and then why you bring me out of it? And I was able to see at some point that I could take responsibility for my actions. Like, he didn't put me there. I went there willingly. I was no victim. You know, I was a volunteer. And when I look at how he's blessed me, because I don't have the war stories that some women have. I was never beat up and raped and tied up in an abandoned building and left for dead and all. You know what I mean? And that wasn't me. But that doesn't mean my shit wasn't bad enough. It was bad. It was bad. But, you know, my life today lets me see that all those, when I think about a war story, it was like I couldn't have a hard time popping on Christmas. You know what I mean? Like, that was the, like, I couldn't get nothing. That was the war story piece. The other was just bullshit. It was just stupid stuff that I kept doing to myself over and over again. Like, I'd start through the streets of Philadelphia at 4 o'clock in the morning, like, looking for one, just one, and ready to fight a man because I'm short and he won't give me, you know what I mean? Like, what? You know, I'm ready to make a scene over $4.25. So he showed me that he carried me. And when I saw that he had carried me, like, through all of that BS, I'm like, I don't have those stories. And I, you know, my dad died while I was still using, and I felt some guilt about that. But the amends process has allowed me to just be there for my mother now. Actually, he was a stepdad, but he was the father I knew. And, you know, like, now I can be there for my mom and just listen to her when she wants to vent about whatever. Like, as a living amends, I can't go back and make up for leaving her alone during his illnesses. But anyway, the God of my understanding carried me through. And so I was able to, I realized he had already been in care of my life. So all I needed to do really was turn over my will and just do what I understood he wanted me to do, which was stay clean, help another addict, and you know, progress in my recovery. I recognized that each step that I worked was, I could decide what my God was and how I communicated with him and everything, but what I saw is each step was actually a step closer to him and closer to the woman that I think he wants me to be. But, you know, because I'm so good at lip service and being a chameleon, like, I had to put some action behind the stuff that I'm saying and feeling, you know, like, if this is what I really believe, then I got to do something. You know what I mean? Like, they talk about how our gratitude shows when we care and share it. And they're like, I can't just say, yeah, I'm grateful and don't show up at my home group or don't, you know, get a service commitment or sponsor women. Like, I have to show, I have to do something. Because I will start to believe that me saying I'm grateful is enough. And it's not. I need to show that I'm grateful. And so I went ahead and started working my fourth step for me. And you know, I hear a lot of people talk about how scary the fourth step is. And for me, it really wasn't. I was ready to be rid of the baggage of my past. I was ready to make amends to my colleagues anonymous for using the rooms the way I did when I first came in. I was ready to redeem myself some small way by just being a woman of integrity today, by giving back as best I could, because I believe that God used those men to bring me to Narcotics Anonymous, and he said, by any means necessary, like, if the men is what gets you here, keep coming back. So, I don't know, the first step was kind of like, I have a closet. And I need to, you know, like, I'm rebuilding my house. And I have this closet with all this crap in it. And the fourth step is me cleaning all that crap out, you know, patching the holes in the wall of the closet and painting it and stacking the stuff back in that I want to keep. My assets on top and everything else. And so that's what I did. I just, you know, went through, like, you know, and what I learned at this time was that for every liability, every character defect I have an asset too. And my character defects are just liable or just assets in disguise, you know, in drag, right? Like just perpetrating. You know, because I can be loud and obnoxious, you know what I mean? But on the other hand, I'm gonna be in somebody's champion. You ain't gonna pull no BS, you ain't gonna tell a newcomer, look, men, you gonna stay away from the newcomer, because that's how we roll. Women gonna be with the women. You know what I mean? You gonna go to me, you gonna read the reasons, because you gonna get you another day cleaner. I will be a champion for some things. But sometimes my point is lost in my presentation. So, often. but anyway, things like that, I got to, like, just learn about myself. You know, I'm not the Billy Badass I thought I was when I'm stomping around the street. But you know what? I'm not squeaky clean either. You know what I mean? I got some stuff with me. First, you know, if they first saw it wrong. Yes, I do a lot of thinking, so consequently I call my sponsor a lot, and I like, you know, what do you think? Does this sound crazy? And, yeah. And she's like, usually, yeah, it does. the sponsor I have has been my sponsor for the last 5 years. My first sponsor was very helpful, but she just got to a point where she decided she wasn't sponsoring women anymore. And, you know, I went right back into denial and rebellion and, like, I'm just not going to tell her she's still my sponsor, but I'm going to create another sponsor. And then I went through a piece where I'm like, all right, I'll get a man sponsor, you know. So I was, like, at my eighth step, and I got this man sponsor. And after we finished my eighth step, he's like, you know, you really need to get a woman sponsor. And I was like, yeah, I know. So that was 5 years ago. But anyway, like I'm still at the fourth step where I'm just talking about my assets and liabilities. What's good, what's bad, or not bad, but what's good, what do I want to change? What do I want to keep and what do I want to discard about me? And then the fifth step is when I tell my sponsor, like, this is what's wrong with me as far as I can tell. You know what I mean? And she was like, well, you know what, your view is distorted. Because here's really what you need to focus on. You really need to look at your pain. You really need to look at the pain you've inflicted, why you did it, you know what I mean? And we get to the exact nature of symptoms. And I'm basically, I'm taking her to that closet that I cleaned out and dressed up all pretty and showing her, look at my closet. And that's it, you know. The sixth step is more of her saying, you don't need this, you don't need that, you don't need this, you know what I mean? And helping me to point out. And some things we both agree, like, yeah, I don't need that, and I turn around and it's back in the closet, you know? it's kind of like playing whack-a-mole with the six and seven steps. Like, I take care of one thing, you know, like cussing people out. Like, that was real hard for me to not do for a while because I felt like I'm powerless over my tongue. Like, I'm powerless over the truth. I have to tell you about yourself to help you. And it don't matter how it sounds, you know I mean it from my heart. You know what I mean? And, yeah, I had to get better with some things. A couple of years, like, was it last year or a year before, I cut somebody out at a spiritual retreat. You know, and it was like, spiritual retreat, I even cut somebody out, but, you know, he was stepping up on the newcomer. And I'm like, back up, get away, you don't come sleeping over here just because she's, you know, pretty face. And I just laid him out, and I was tired of singing my tongue for a minute. But I had to take ownership and remember that, you know, I'm not powerless over my tongue unless I choose to be. Just like I'm not powerless over taking the first one unless I choose to be. So, you know, part of that power is I stay away from situations where I could lose my power. You know what I mean? Like, I don't go to nobody's bar. I don't say I don't play pool. I don't care what the jukebox is like. Ain't nobody's chicken wings that good. You know, I've driven miles out of my way. I had to go to the bathroom so badly. I had Sponsy in the car with me. And every gas station we stopped at, they didn't have a bathroom. They go to the bar down the street, whatever. And I was like, you know, I'm going to get a ticket for peeing on the side of the road before I would go into a bar. And that's just where I am. Some people can do it. I don't want to. I don't want that stale alcohol and cigarette smell that seeps in. You know, it's too familiar. And I just don't want it. So the sixth step, you know, I'm like, damn, cut somebody out again. You know what I mean? Or like, oh, I didn't mean to do that. And I'm just starting to be aware of how much stuff I need to work on. I'm plagued by a sense of inadequacy. Like I said, I was so very humble to be asked to speak up here if I'm not worthy. Yeah, I have a sponsee who has 31 years clean. And I couldn't believe that she asked me to sponsor her. Like, I don't have nothing for you. Like, I, you know what I mean? But when I look at, like, what do I want in a sponsor? I want somebody who has a working knowledge of the 12-12-12. I want somebody who is in service, who has some time away from their last youth. I want somebody who's active in the program. And I want somebody who's reasonably happy in their life. And I thought about that, and I'm like, happy. I think that bill, so why wouldn't she want me as a sponsor? And so what's come of that is I am able to, I'm able to help this woman be vulnerable when she feels like everybody is judging her because you got 31 years, you shouldn't be feeling that way, you know? And I can relate to that because a lot of times in Butler, there's a lot of newcomers in the meeting, and I found myself feeling, you know, like they ain't got nothing for me because, they, you know, like, I felt like I didn't have problems. My problems were, like, I'm out of money, like, basically. I'm out, you know, I got to get to work. I worked an hour away from where I was living. By the way, I just moved to Swissvale, too, so I'm only 15 minutes away from where I was working. But at the time, like, how am I going to get to work this week? What am I going to have for lunch this week? You know what I mean? How am I going to complete this service commitment this week? Like, those were my problems, and I think compared to white-knuckling it, like wanting to use and or maybe just having used and trying to get honest about it, you know, so picking up keys and like those are serious problems. I felt like I didn't have any problems. So I had to get honest and return to the literature when the 10th tradition where it talks about anything that eats my lunch is grounds for discussion. Like is any of those things to take me out. Somebody kind of close to me had 9 years clean. And that was his story. He just stopped. He was still talking to his sponsor. He was still going to meetings, but he wasn't talking about how he felt. And when the opportunity presented itself, he just went and bought a six-pack and threw away 9 years. I don't want that. That's my story. I will do anything, and I mean anything. There is nothing I wouldn't do to keep my clean date. There is no way I'm throwing it away. And look, I ain't relapsing on no damn beer, neither. Okay? I'm just saying that. I'm, you know, I'm be yard out, and I don't want to go there. I don't want to go there. I wouldn't have nothing to wear. Look, if I relapse, I got nothing but a bunch of NA t-shirts. What am I going to put on? I don't know. Anyway, by the seventh step, you know, I was, you know, I tried under my own power with the sixth step. I'm gaining an awareness of what I'm doing and how, you know, how I'm affecting people, because I'm seeing how I'm affecting myself. And by the seventh step, I'm just actually sick of myself. And I, is this time? You're talking too long? Okay. by the seventh step, I am, you know, that's what I'm humbly asking God, please, please, please take this, you know, just fix me, whatever you got to do. And there's nothing, that I, it's like a process. I just have to go through it. And when I'm exhausted of the behaviors that I find unfavorable in me, you know, then somehow God lifts them. You know, and like I said, they're subject to return. It's like you'll lift this one, and then this one pops up. And then, you know, but I don't stay stuck on the sixth and seventh. After I recognize how sick of myself I become, I know I must have made y'all, like, really sick. Like, y'all really hate me. So I recognize that I need to make some amends. And the eighth step just calls it I make a list. Just make the list, write it down, and become willing. You know, and I'm not, like, immediately willing. I pray for the willingness, and I continue to do what I'm doing to further myself in my recovery. I don't know. I don't want to take up more time than is allotted, because I really want to hear Regina speak. So I just want to say, like, I'm reasonably happy in my life. I'm working steps. I'm in service. I go to meetings. I have a sponsor. Since I moved from Butler to Swissvale, I haven't gotten a new home group yet, but I'm working on it. I already know which one I'm going to go to. I just haven't signed the book yet. And I don't know. I'm just not going to take anything one day at a time. That's all I have. Thanks for listening.